motivated and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going.
Good evening, everyone. We thank God for another Saturday, the 1st April. And indeed, it's always a privilege to come your way. Last weekend, I was not around. But thank God, I'm back. And tonight, it's a bit loaded. A lot of things to talk about. The SU discussions we'll be having will continue with God willing next 2 weeks. So that I can use today and next week, God willing, to finish what I started last 2 weeks on the financial issues and all that. Those who listened, I'm continuing, but those who didn't, you can also listen to it on spiritissues.info for the recording, or on the Telegram group, you can get the recordings from there. You know, a lot is happening. Seriously, I mean, this evening or today when I was preparing for the program, you don't know what to pick, you don't know what to leave out. It's like, it's, information is, it's so loaded, and you look at the time that you have, you just have to pick the most important. I would have to get back to start the podcast that I started some time back, and so that I can feel in doing more things, talking about a lot of things, because things we've reached a point where things are happening at a very fast rate, and a lot is happening all over the place, and we just can't ignore. Some are very critical, but because of the time, you can't attend to it. So I believe, God willing, next week I'll be starting the podcast alongside, and I'll be putting it on the spiritissues.info website and the Telegram group as well. All right, so I'm Eben. I'm going to be with you from now till 9 p.m. And greetings to people all over. Unfortunately, those experiencing power cuts will not be able to listen. Someone sent a message that the power cuts and all that. But well, it will be recorded, or it's been recorded, so you can still get to listen afterwards. And I believe you'll still be blessed. You know, a lot is happening in the U.S., tornadoes, weather, distractions, other places, extreme weather and all that. But tonight, I'm just concentrating on a few key news items, and then that's the focus of tonight's edition. The first is the, you know, we had the U.S. Vice President visiting Ghana, and I just like the way CNN reported it. I'm just reading from CNN's version. Ghana's president softens country's stance on draconian anti-LGBTQ bill as Kamala Harris visits. So it says that Ghana's president Nana Akufo-Addo has said that substantial elements of the draconian anti-LGBTQ bill being considered by its parliament have been modified after an intervention by the government. Akufo-Addo made the disclosure Monday at a joint press conference with U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris, who is on a tour of the West African country. He pointed out that the proposed legislation, framed in the guise of family values, which seeks to introduce some of the harshest anti-LGBTQ laws on the African continent, was not legislation introduced by the government, but a private member's bill. The bill was first introduced in Parliament in 2021, August. Quote, the bill is going through the Parliament. The Attorney General has found it necessary to speak to the committee, the Constitutional and Legal Committee of Parliament, about it regarding the constitutionality of several of the provisions. The parliament is dealing with it. At the end of the process, I will come in, according to the Ghanaian leader. And that's what people are like, okay, I will come in. Uh-huh. Of course, yes, every bill after the bill, it goes to the president to sign to make it a law. But as to the context of the way he said it, I will come in, that's coming in there. That means I really doubt he's going to sign it when they pass this bill. Seriously. I mean, you listen to other African countries when they are speaking on LGBT issues. They are bold and they still their stance as it is. But here we have our president shying away, trying to, you know, play diplomatic in some way. Doesn't want to really come out to say that this is wrong. We don't support it. But that's our problem in Ghana. But this news I found to be very worrying when one MP, the headline is, proponents of anti-LGBT bill fear losing parliamentary seats. So proponents of the promotion of proper human sexual rights and Ghanaian family values bill, anti-LGBTQ bill, say they are in danger of losing their parliamentary seats because of their advocacy for the passage of the private members bill. According to South Dai MP Roxanne Dafiamekpo, LGBTQ members and lobbyists are influencing their primary elections. And this is where my worry is. Let me repeat. According to South Dai MP Roxanne Dafiamekpo, LGBTQ members and lobbyists are influencing their primary elections. You know, this is worrying because if this is happening in Ghana now, where these lobbyists, you know, and these lobbyists will be getting funding from, you know, the retreat systems, so they can really have money. Lobbyists across the world for this agenda, they can really have money. And, you know, our system, our society, Ghana is now so corrupt and so money-driven that with money you can do anything. So if they started doing this lobbying in Ghana behind the scenes, if Christ tarries, what it means is that in the next, I won't say many years, in the next few years, let's give ourselves maybe 10, 20, 15, thereabout years, they can ensure that they have their people fully in parliament. Because with money, you can be changing the seats gradually, and you can fill the parliament with your own people, people who support the agenda. So it really raises a big issue, because if this lobbying, no man, this lobbying is done in the US, we hear of it in the US and all, but if this lobbying is now effective in Ghana with money moving behind the scenes to change some MPs, not because they are not effective, but because they are pushing for a bill against anti-LGBT, then the country is in big trouble. Big trouble, because it means this lobbying or these lobbyists are really going to push in. I mean, because sometimes I hear some learned people, professors and top people challenging the bill and speaking against it. And it's like, wow. So no wonder the lobbies are really working. Money is really working. And that's a very dangerous thing, because it's just a matter of time. They will use money to change the system. God help us as a country. All right. Then this big news. It was a real big one. I mean, Brazil and China ditch US dollar for trade payments and favor the Chinese yuan. Brazil has just cut a deal with China to ditch the US dollar when paying each other for trade goods. It's the latest victory in Beijing's long-term drive to stomp on the greenback and establish the yuan as the dominant international currency. The deal, announced Thursday, has revived concerns about the US dollar's future. Brazil and China will directly exchange payments without first converting their currencies to the trusted third-party economy. That's the traditional rule of the greenback. That's the dollar. So this happened this week, and it's a big one. Last week, that was last 2 weeks before. Okay, I couldn't talk about it last week, so yeah. China has been able to also broker a deal of peace between Saudi and Iran. These were enemies, Sunni and then Shia Islam. So different, and it's been a big issue, Saudi and Iran, loggerheads. But now China, the power player, has been able to bring them together. And this is a big blow to the U.S. because we've, you know, Saudi is used to be a U.S. ally, the biggest U.S. ally in the Middle East for oil purposes and all that. But since Biden came, they've lost the move with Saudi because his visit to Saudi, it was a cold reception. And you see the reception that the Chinese president got when he went to Saudi, completely opposite. It's like, wow, America is really falling and China is rising. So Saudi has been now towing towards the Chinese side, ignoring the U.S. threatening and all that, and they've not really paid attention to the U.S. You know, Saudi is a big boy, I mean, when it comes to oil, a real big player. And the oil, the profit they've made for last year alone, I mean, several billions of dollars. Big. So the money is not an issue. So they don't care about what the U.S. is now. Now, they know where power lies. If you align with China, you are good to go in the world now. So that's China, Saudi, Iran coming together. Then Chinese president goes to Russia last week. And unfortunately, let me see if I can find that statement, because he made an interesting statement when he was leaving Russia. His parting statement with the Russian president was very, very interesting. And some, in paraphrasing, he says, they are going to change the world. Something that has not happened in 100 years is going to happen. I mean, I'm paraphrasing him. And they know what they are doing. They are going to undermine the U.S. currency. This is such a big thing. Oh, yes, it's a big thing. I think, I have a few files to play. Let me play them, and then I think people can understand some of these things better. Okay. Let me start with this one.
As de-dollarization of the international economy is gaining momentum, this is spearheaded by powerful countries like China and Russia. At the recent state visits by Chinese President Xi Jinping in Russia, President Vladimir Putin indicated that they're in favor of using Chinese currency for trade in other parts of the world, like Africa, Asia, and Latin America. The Kremlin has been slapped with a raft of sanctions by the Western world for invading Ukraine. Для нас была и остается тематика
торгово-экономического взаимодействия. A serious incentive for the development of trade and investment cooperation is the expansion of the practice of settlements between our countries in national currencies. According to the results of the first three quarters of last year, the share of ruble and yuan in mutual commercial transactions reached 65% and continues to grow, which allows us to protect mutual trade from the influence of third countries and negative trends in global currency markets.
Another BRICS country, India, has indicated that it's putting into place a mechanism for international trade settlements and rupees. The Indian currency will allow New Delhi to bypass using the US dollar in case of sanctions. India is also a major buyer of Russian arms, and Indian refineries have started paying for most of their Russian oil in other currencies rather than the US dollar. Meanwhile, Kenyan President William Ruto has unveiled a plan to deal with the dollar crisis.
As a government, we have made innovative intentions and undertaken innovative strategy to ensure that we ease the burden of availability of dollar in our market. We just concluded last week an arrangement, a market-driven arrangement in our fuel sector that will see Kenya access all our fuel needs on a deferred six-month credit. That will eliminate a demand of $500 million every month from this market. And therefore, for the people who work numbers, I am giving you free advice that those of you who are holding dollars, you shortly might go into losses.
As India gears up to host the G20 summits later this year, and the issue of currency recognition is set to dominate the discussions among the influential economies.
Your Excellency.
Vladimir Putin announced this week that Russia will begin using the Chinese yuan for international payments instead of the dollar. Saudi Arabia is also in talks with Beijing to do the same thing. Speaking of Saudi Arabia, meanwhile, they are in talks with Iran as well to consider an economic alliance with China and Russia. And they can even be joining the BRIC countries, which is an acronym for these countries here, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. These countries all have emerging economies. So what happens if our economy and the U.S. dollar are no longer the world's dominant currency? Former Assistant Treasury Secretary and host of the Monica Crowley podcast, Monica Crowley, is here to weigh in. Monica, great to see you this morning. Let's start right there. What happens if these emerging economies move away from the U.S. dollar towards the Chinese yuan?
Well, good morning, Will. It's great to be with you. And it's really hard to overstate exactly how catastrophic the abandonment of the U.S. dollar would be as the world's global reserve currency. Look, since the end of World War II, the dollar has been the safe place to go. And it's been backed up by a couple of things. It originally was backed up by gold, but President Nixon took us off the gold standard. So there's no hard asset backing up the dollar anymore for the last 50 years. But also it's been backed up by the strength and economic power of the United States and the fact that oil has always been traded in dollars. If that were to end, that would mean the end of the U.S. dollar. Look, there is a perfect storm happening right now, Will. The world's reserve currency, being that having that status, has been a real privilege. But we've abused the privilege by wholly reckless monetary and fiscal policies over many years, certainly over the last couple of years, which has really devalued the dollar. On top of that, now you do have this perfect storm of Biden's weakness, his war on American domestic energy production, the Ukraine war, and as you point out, because of all of these things, we've got America's enemies led by China forming a new economic bloc. And all it would take at this point now, because we're at this pivotal moment, Will, is for Saudi Arabia, who has indicated that they're open to this, to say, you know what, we're going to be open to considering other currencies to trade in oil. If that were to happen, there would be a complete implosion of the global economic system, but certainly the American economic system. And if that were to happen, you'd be looking at sky-high inflation, just raging Weimar Republic kind of inflation. If you think inflation is bad now, just wait. But more importantly, we would lose our economic dominance and we would lose our superpower status.
Monica, the world's reserve currency, you said it's a privilege for the United States for the dollar to have been the world's currency. How does that relate to each individual American? How has that changed or impacted or improved our lives throughout the last several decades?
Yeah, I mean, it's given the United States incredible dominance in the world in terms of the economic system and in terms of trade. It's kept prices down. So whether it's energy prices, whether it's your food prices, the entire global economic system is reliant on the safe and secure dollar. But that is no longer true, again, because we've been printing money like crazy and devalued the power of the dollar and the value of the dollar. But on top of it now, again, oil is the critical linchpin of this. If Saudi Arabia decides to join with America's enemies here and start trading oil in different currencies, that is going to undermine the entire global economic system. And here at home, you know what it's going to mean for us? It's going to mean raging inflation, so much worse than anything we have ever experienced, Will. Yeah. And I'll tell you, they're setting it up so that they can then come to the rescue by introducing central bank digital currency. If they were to do that, and the United States already has a pilot program, that means the loss of your individual economic freedom, because the government will have total access and control of everything you buy and sell and the ability to turn it off like that.
Ominous warning. I hear you. Saudi Arabia is the tipping point. Oil trading.
You know, The last part, the lady said, they do this to open up to start the central bank digital currency. Last 2 weeks I spoke about it. You know, that's the ultimate plan by the system, the world system, to crash the current system, to give a rise to the central bank digital system. Last year at the World Government Summit, that name alone should send signals to Christians. World Government Summit 2022 edition in Dubai, something happened, very interesting discussion. Let me play an excerpt of it, then I'll come back to my studio stuff.
Your Excellency, are you ready for a new world order?
Father was an advisor to Nixon when they came off the gold standard in 71, and so I was brought up with a kind of inside view of how very important the financial structure is to absolutely everything else. And what we're seeing in the world today, I think, is we are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one.
Did you hear her well? I'm saying it boldly. That's what she said. I'm saying it boldly.
About to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on. It also raises huge dangers in terms of the balance of power between states and citizens. In my opinion, we're going to need a digital constitution of human rights if we're going to have digital money. But also, this new money will be sovereign in nature. Most people think that digital money is crypto and private. But what I see are superpowers introducing digital currency. The Chinese were the first. The U.S. is on the brink, I think, of moving in the same direction. The Europeans have committed to that as well. And the question is, will that new system of digital money and digital accounting accommodate the competing needs of the citizens of all these locations so that every human being has a chance to have a better life? Because that's the only measure of whether a world order really serves.
So, yeah. What's this lady, what's her name? Forgotten crap. What she is talking about, that's paper Malgren. What she is saying is that for every new or every world order is underpinned by a financial system. But the current one is not fit for purpose. So they have to crash it or just discard it and then start a new one. And that's the central bank digital currency that's behind the scenes. It's being worked on, including our own Bank of Ghana, and all of them are signed up and all. So the current systems that we know, the current world financial system you and I know, we grew up in, we are using every day now, is what these powers that be want to destroy. Then they can bring what they want the rest of the world or the world to use, which is going to be controlled by the central banks worldwide, which every transaction, because you have to crash the fiat system as we know, fiat as the cash system as we know, take things to the digital system where you can track everything. So even if you buy an ice water, any little thing, whatever, so far as a transaction is being stored, is being recorded, is being traced, someone can know what you are buying, when you bought it, how much you spent. So everything is traceable to you. You can't do any underhand dealings, any secret dealings, transactions somewhere. So it's all about power and control. That's why they want to do it. That's the main reason why they want to do it. So we are seeing signals of this collapse that they are working on feverishly. If Saudi announces today officially that he's ditching the dollar, trouble begins, as one of the speakers said in the file I played. And that's how close we are to these destructive systems that they are working on. The Brazil and the Chinese thing, it was just yesterday that came in the news. Now, Kenya, I played the Kenya's president's own last week. He said it. You see, so the systems are falling in place gradually. That's why we as believers should understand the times we are in. But let me finalize with this last news item, which is by the headline says, Trilateral Commission calls 2023, quote, year one, unquote, of New World Order. Let me repeat. Trilateral Commission calls 2023 year one of New World Order. As retired foreign ministers, ambassadors, CEOs, bankers, and academics gathered at the secretive Trilateral Commission's first global plenary meeting in India, perhaps the most influential individual sat quietly off to the side listening. James Baker, director of Pentagon's Office of Net Assessment, was not even on the list of participants at the Taj Palace Hotel in New Delhi, but his takeaways from the meeting could find their way into policies that shape the world. Baker is the successor to a legendary defense strategist, Andrew Marshall, who headed the office for 42 years. He is responsible for providing the Secretary of Defense with assessment of U.S. military capabilities relative to other actors 20 to 30 years down the road. One particular speech may have caught Baker's attention, for it captured the essence of the three-day discussion held from Friday through Sunday. The Biden administration is trying to convince the world that there is this titanic struggle between autocracies and democracies. I'm skeptical about that, a speaker said. Instead, the world is fragmented, with countries, including the U.S., looking out for their self-interests, the speaker added. The Trilateral Commission is a non-governmental organization that seeks to deepen understanding between the U.S., Europe, and Asia. The speaker, who cannot be identified according to commission rules, went on talk about their globalization agenda, defined as integrated, free market-based, and deflationary, and has been replaced by the period of globalization defined as fragmented, not free market-based, but industrial policy-based and structurally inflationary. This year, 2023, is the year one of this new global order. Global order is the same as world, new world order. So new global order. At the core of this shift is the U.S. Instead of committing to a new liberal free market economy, the U.S. government is driving the economy and key industries towards a set of objectives such as domestic equity at home and competition with China. In such a world, middle powers like India, Saudi, and Turkey will carve their own paths, weighing the economic, strategic, and defense interests, the speaker said. Ironically, as the Trilateral Commission convened, Saudi Arabia and Iran agreed to normalize relations, shattering Israel's hopes for isolating Tehran. The deal was brokered by China, with the U.S. having no role in the handshake. So, according to the Trilateral Commission, you can read on your own, search about Trilateral Commission and read about them. It's a secretive organization. That's the Trilateral Commission, the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the Club of Rome, which other one? I've forgotten the other two. These are the main entities working towards the new world order, and these are the power players, the movers and shakers of the system. So, if the Trilateral Commission says that this is year one of the new world order, and then the file I played, the World Government Summit 2022 in Dubai last year, the speaker starts by asking, are you ready for the new world order? If they lay these things bare to us, that this is year one. Last year they asked at the World Government Summit, are you ready for it? We are in 2023, and now they say that this is year one of it. That means from their perspective, the system has started. The new world order has started. Whether you believe it or not, change doesn't change anything. So far as they are concerned, the globalists are concerned, the New World Order has started. Of course, it won't start exactly fully implementing everything they want. It's a gradual process. But so far as it has started, that means now they are going to push things faster than it used to be to achieve their goals at a faster rate. Because the earlier they achieve these goals, the better for them. As believers, we have to understand where to draw the line and know that these are the times the Bible talked about. It is these same systems we are talking about that will bring about the system of the Antichrist. Oh yes, let me repeat. It is these same systems they are working on that will bring about the rise of the Antichrist. If the systems that will bring about the rise of the Antichrist is being talked about so freely in the news and in world programs, asking boldly and freely, are you ready for the new world order? If all these discussions are going on and Christians are asleep, the church is asleep as if nothing is happening. We are so comfortable in our lukewarmness, we have no idea what is happening. And we think all is well. No, 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 all is not well. A lot is happening behind the scenes and a lot is coming. The truth is one. A lot is about to unfold in the world system as we know it. Things are going to change as we know it. When these systems start going down, you heard the woman saying it's an implosion of the world system. I mean, I don't need to give you a cons lectures to explain the implications of US dollar going down on our little economy in Ghana. I don't need to explain to you. You should be able to understand that the effects on the world system will be huge. Already, our system is already in coma, on life supports, with IV fusions and all over the body, Ghana. So when these big external shocks come, we're already dead. So our case is even something else. But we believers should understand where we are. That's the reason why I'm taking time to explain some of these things, because unfortunately believers are a bit ignorant about the happenings behind the scenes in some of these things. But we should understand it, and we should know that these are the times the Bible talks about. So if we understand that these are the times the Bible talks about, then we should know how to do things. We should know how to live our lives. We should know how to prepare. We should know how, when, what to do. It's very critical, because if these system shaking events are just at the point of unfolding, and you see, let me say it boldly and plainly, a lot of these system shakings they are talking about, we are going to see them soon this year. This is not next year issues. This year, we are going to start seeing them. We are going to start seeing them soon. That's why I saw it so important to take time to explain it, because it is coming. These are not things that we can pray to stop it. We have to understand the role of prayer. There are things prayer cannot stop. Rather, prayer can give you the grace to go through, give you the empowerment to endure and all that. Because if prayer can stop everything, then a lot of Bible prophecies will never happen, because we pray to stop everything. So there are things that prayer cannot stop. Rather, the prayer that we pray will give us the grace, will give us the provision, will give us the guidance, will give us the wisdom and God's direction. These are the things that prayer can do for us in the midst of whatever is coming. That's a fact. The Bible prophecy, or prophecies that come in real time, in our times and all that, is meant to give us direction, is meant to give us an advantage over the world. The worldly people will not understand what is happening, but the believers who get to understand Bible prophecy and the prophecies coming from the prophets of God should have an advantage based on that information to know what to do. So it's like you have like an insider information. You are an advantageous position to know ahead of time what is coming so that you can prepare. That's the reason why I'm saying some of these things. So as believers, we should walk in that wisdom of God, knowing where we are in God's timeline. Because, you see, a whole lot of things are happening so fast. If you look at Israel, the shakings that are, I mean, their political system, what is happening there, the wars, rumors of wars in various places, the pandemics, I mean, the viruses, different old viruses rearing its head and all that. All these things, you know, famine, East Africa, serious famine in some countries, in other parts of Asia, people have, droughts, famine is an issue. See, so many things are happening at the same time. I mean, Bible prophecy. There's one aspect of Bible prophecy. Believers sometimes don't talk about it. Most times we just jump to Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13. But we don't often talk about 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me just read a portion, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'll continue from there. Verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. We are entering the perilous time. We've entered already. The perilous times are upon us. And then it gives, see, actually, if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, the description that Paul gives there, it's giving you a description of how society will be like. In the case of the prophecies by Jesus, Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark chapter 13, Jesus spoke more about events, happenings. But Paul's prophecy on end time is about social behavior and lifestyle. So we go through it. You think through, look at it. We are seeing each and every one of them happening, even in Ghana, in our communities, we are seeing it. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. This one is happening in Ghana more than any other thing. The greed, what is happening, people just love themselves above any other thing. And that's what is we are seeing in our country now. People, you see, so men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous. I mean, the blasphemies we have seen in various ways. Now there's an attack on the word of God. People, God's word is what is just a story, it's just this. All sorts of blasphemies, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Without natural affection. Everybody knows this is how something is supposed to be by nature, man versus woman. Common sense. That's the natural way of things. Now, what do we see? They say no. Man, woman, and it should be accepted. It's not natural. It's an unnatural affection. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Christianity is under attack. You want to do the right thing. You want to live right, you are rather seen as the bad one. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We are seeing this, all of them, in our times, in our society around us. This is how the world would look like. Actually, if you do a further study about like this, that the last days, perilous time shall come. One study I was doing some time back, from the Greek angle, the description, the words used, it describes it in a way that it's like when you get to a last point, like a last stop. So in this know also that in the last days, so this last days is talking about, is at the very end, when you are getting to the last stop, you sit in the trotro, in the very last stop, you are getting there. That's what the description, the Greek word that was used, that's how it describes it. So at the very end of the last days. The last days has been on for some time. But when we are really getting to the very end of the last days, this is how society is going to be like. That's how serious it is. That's how society is going to be like. And you look at it critically, that's exactly how the society is. I mean, it's behaving now. It's getting worse and worse by every passing day. We are getting deeper into these fulfillments by human behavior. People are getting deeper into these things. See, so the times itself should speak for itself as to the argument of whether we are in the last days or not. That one doesn't come in now. So far as you are really a Christian, you don't need to waste your time arguing about that one. Because the spirit within you should be able to prompt you to have an idea of where we are. And the times are such that we should walk in the wisdom of God. We should walk in the ways of God. We should seek His face in prayer more than ever before. We need to pray. Oh yeah. The times ahead requires that we pray. Real prayer is needed. Because you see, at the end of the day, there are things which we cannot stop. That's why we need to pray. If we need God's direction, protection, whatever, it can only be by prayer and by our lifestyle. So we shouldn't just take for granted the things we are seeing, the things we are hearing, the things we are, you know, the news and all that. The earlier we seek the face of God for His guidance, His direction, showing us how and what to do, the better it will be for us. Because you see, for these players, China, whether you believe it or not, is going to dominate fully. It's just a matter of time. You are going to see more African countries shifting towards the Chinese, to start using the Chinese yuan, just as Kenya's president was talking about in that video there. You see, they are changing. So, because if you see, why did the U.S. vice president come to Africa? Because they've seen that they've lost Africa. The Chinese have taken over. So they came. She came. But, you are coming to try and lobby and get our love back for you, and you come and you are talking LGBT. It's like, I just wonder what's wrong with America now. So even in the midst of this whole serious mission, the Chinese are taking Africa and we are losing out as the West. Let's go back and see how we can salvage our relationship with them. And you come and just say, give us some good promises with money and promises of good things. Your priority is LGBT. How? But it shows how depraved the American society has become. That even they see this as one of their topmost foreign policy agenda. That every meeting that they go out now with another country in Africa, it should be a priority. The Chinese, when they come seeking African relationships, they don't care about LGBT. It's not part of their society. They are talking of what mutual benefits, what they will get, what you will get. Give us gold, we give you this. Give us this, we get this. Trade. They are talking of trade and business. But America comes, they are talking trade as well as talking of sexual lifestyles. Come on. Who will take you serious then? You see, so the shift to the East is a reality. It's happening. The shift to the kings of the East is forming. For those who know their Bible well, yes, you can understand. The kings of the East, the alliance is forming thick and fast. The powerful kings of the East. You see, so, and China is leading this whole campaign. At the right time, they will strike. They know the game they are playing. They know when to strike and how it will hit America the hardest. So they are not rushing. But everything is set. Everything is set. Saudi can just announce today. If they announce today, fine, that is it. the system changes. You see, so it's just a matter of one or two countries making some bold statements, and the world financial system, as we know, it changes together with its ripple effects on weak economies and big economies and all that. So this is where we are. That's why my plea to you is to walk in wisdom in the times we are in. It's critical. We need wisdom. Ultimately, wisdom from God. Not earthly wisdom, but we need wisdom from God. Because that will make a lot of difference between you and your neighbors, between you and your friends, and between you and your relatives. That wisdom will make a difference in the decisions you make. People will not understand why you are making or taking some decisions. But when you walk in the wisdom of God, eventually, people realize that, so how did you know this? How come you saw this coming ahead of time and we didn't? It's the wisdom of God. And it's so important we understand these things. Okay, I'll be back after this short break.
I wish by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this dark, and I will lift my hand, 'cause you are. Again, my strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God takes away. And I'll praise you in this dark, and I will lift my hands, 'cause you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hands. You never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. Oh, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker heaven and earth. I lift my eyes unto the hills.
beautiful song by Natalie Grant. Praise you in the storm. All right, let me finish up with this one I spoke about. I've gotten it on my phone. The Chinese president, when he went to Russia, and some key statements he made, I just want to go through. The headline says, Xi and Putin pledged to shape a new world order as Chinese leader leaves Russia with no peace in sight for Ukraine. Goes on to say that, yes, as Xi departed, he told Putin, now listen, now there are, quotes, there are changes that haven't happened in 100 years. When we are together, we drive these changes, unquote. I agree, Putin said, to which Xi responded, quote, take care of yourself, dear friend, please, unquote. This was their final when he was leaving at the airport. Take care of yourself, dear friend, please. So now that they are together, they are going to cause changes that have not happened in 100 years. Can you imagine the changes that they are seeking to bring to the world? We've not seen it in 100 years. That means whatever changes coming will be massive. The impact and the effect will be massive. That's what they are driving at. That's what they are driving at. You see, so it's not just ordinary meetings. They are meeting, but these meetings now have massive impacts on the world, or are going to have massive impacts on the world. Decisions by these world leaders are not just ordinary. And China is having so much control now that when they decide to push their agenda eventually, US will go down. Oh yes, US would go down. And when US is going down, they won't go down alone. They will go down with a lot of things, you know, countries tied to their dollar and all that. So they know what they are talking about. They want to change the world order, and they are pushing a new world order. As to the balance of power and all that, when things unfold, we'll see. But the reality is, they are working hard behind the scenes. There are people working behind the scenes to push these things into being. And someone will say, so why is God allowing them to have their way and do all these things as if they control the world or they own the world? The irony of this whole thing is that men or people think they are wise in their own eyes. They are doing things, they are powerful, they are what. But the things they are doing, unknown to them or knowing to them, is aligning perfectly with Bible prophecy and scripture. So indeed, yes, kings of the east should arise, powerful kingdoms in the east should arise in the last days. And that's what China is leading. Yes, a one world system will have to come in where there will be controls. It's being worked on. The essence of these shakings that are coming is to bring the world to the point where we need a new leader that will be acceptable to all, to bring calm onto the scene. And that's the role of the Antichrist. The shakings that we are seeing are just the beginning of bigger shakings coming. So as believers, we should understand these things. Per most church doctrines, oh, the church will not see these things, the church will not be here and all that. Well, a lot of things the church over the years thought that will not be here, we are seeing it and we are still here. I mean, that's how, you see, it's time we go back to the Bible again and read what Jesus said well, and the conditions he put in there. Let's get back to the book. So that, you see, we stop walking in error because, oh, well, the church will not see, the church will not see, the church will not be here, the church will not be here. But the things are unfolding and coming, oh, will not be here, will not be here. Okay, granted, will not be here. But are we even also ready to also depart now? The church is also not ready for that. So we are not ready for the rapture. We are also not ready for what is ahead. So where is our position and where is our stance as the church? We are just existing. And we are in our lukewarmness, comfortable in our lukewarmness, thinking all is well, deceiving ourselves, tickling ourselves in the dark, and we are laughing, and we think we are doing something to ourselves. You see, we have to get back and wake up from the slumber that has overshadowed the church these days. So much slumber. It's as if something, the church is just, the church has lost focus, largely. And this shaking should wake up the church to the realization that we need a revival. Oh yes, we need it. We need it. We need it. And it's some of these shakings that will cause the church to go back on its knees. Because you see, we are behaving like the Laodicean church. We are rich. We have need of nothing. We are blessed. We have our big auditoriums. We have money. We can buy cars. We can do this. We have this investment. We have this savings. We have this and that and that. Okay, let's boast and brag about these things. It will crash right before our eyes, and we'll see that we'll have to call on God now. When our investments and all the things that we can brag and boast about, we lose it overnight. Then we'll know that there's God. We'll get back to God in our poverty. And that is when we'll be serious with serving God. That's why God is allowing some of these shakings to come. But the church, is the church ready for it? All right, good night. I'm Eben, and this one is recorded to be on issues, spiritissues.info, and the Telegram group Spirit Issues. Thanks for listening. God bless you, and God willing, next week I'll be coming your way. I believe you've been blessed. Some of these things, just maybe listen to it again to get a better understanding of some of these things. If you have a question or misunderstanding of something, just send me a WhatsApp, 0244-638-757, 0244-638-757. All right. Good night, and God bless you.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away. Stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as you move